You are listening to a podcast from the World Stroke Academy, the educational platform of the World Stroke Organization.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, we at the World Stroke Academy want to celebrate the achievements and careers of women in stroke and highlight female leadership. We interviewed outstanding women who were nominated by WSO board members for their important contributions to the field of stroke.
This is the 11th episode of the Women in Stroke Initiative podcast.
Hi, I'm Professor Anita Arsovska, Associate Commissioning Editor of the World Stroke Academy, and I'm here today with Dr. Elsa Sunset. Hi, Elsa. It's great to have you here with us, and congratulations on the nomination by the WSO board members. Elsa Charlotte Sunset is specialist in neurology and works as a senior consultant at the Department of Neurology Stroke Unit at Oslo University Hospital. Elsa is Secretary General of the European Stroke Organization, Fellow of ESO and WSO, member of the Board of Directors of WSO, member of the Research Committee at WSO, was co-chair of the Education Committee at the ESO-WSO Stroke Conference 2020, and co-chair of ESO Edinburgh Stroke Research Winter School. Elsa has a lot of editorial and peer review activities, has participated in several clinical trials, and was invited speaker at conferences and congresses worldwide. So I'm going to start with the first question. Elsa, how did you become interested in stroke medicine?
So that is, of course, a very good question. I think my main interest in stroke came from first when I was doing my specialization, and it's starting to become quite a lot of years ago, and it's quite surprising to think, it's quite astonishing to think about that in 2006 during my internship, stroke patients in the ED were kind of left in a room by themselves because you could not do much about them. But of course, we know now that that is not the correct way of treating stroke patients. But I found stroke interesting because it's such a devastating disease. You go from being completely healthy 1 minute to the next minute you are disabled and not able to continue your daily activities as per usual. So that is the patient side of it, which fascinates me and why I enjoy working in stroke. But it's also another side, and this was also during my internship. I always found neurology fascinating and something I was considering to specialize in. But I also really like internal medicine, and I think what is special about stroke is in many ways you don't have to choose if you're working with internal medicine or neurology, because you need to be knowledgeable in both specialities. You need to know your internal medicine really, really well, because most of the stroke patients have a lot of internal medicine issues, but you also need to know your neurology really well. So the combination of neurology and internal medicine is probably what I enjoy most about working with stroke patients and in stroke medicine.
I know that you are a strong advocate for female stroke researchers, always encouraging and supporting us in the WISE group to submit topics and abstracts for conferences and to apply for certain positions. So, do you think leadership in neurology differs somewhat by gender? And if yes, how?
So, I work in a hospital where the head or the chair of the division of neuroscience is female. The head of neurology is female. The head of stroke is female. So, I have a lot of good female leadership role models within my own hospital. But we know on a larger level that in general, women are underrepresented when it comes to professor positions and chair positions around the world. So if there is a difference between men and women, and if women are underrepresented, I think on a general level, we see that. And of course, we have examples of it being opposite or different, like in my hospital. But that doesn't mean that we should just relax and think that this is good enough. We still have to work to encourage women to take on leadership roles. And I think that is an important part of it. We are trained in the way we are raised already from early childhood. We are kind of put into gender roles, and you think differently. We are all influenced by biases, and I am too. So we have to create an environment where we actually encourage each other and tell other women around you, no, you're actually good enough. Go. The worst thing is that we might get a no, but you have to try at least.
Definitely. I know you have worked closely with Professor Eivind Berge, who shall be greatly missed. So what would you say is the role of mentorship for career development?
I think there are two things when it comes to we need to talk about mentorship, and we need to talk about sponsorship. So I think Ivan was a fantastic mentor for me. I miss him a lot. He taught me so much about collaboration, about establishing a collaborating network, that doing research is it's a team effort. In many ways, he was such a he believed so much that anything was possible, and he would not give up until he achieved it, which is also something I bring with me from Ivan when I kind of want to come to a situation where I'm thinking, oh, this is nearly impossible, I want to give up. In a way I have Ivan's voice in the back of my head saying, no, we need to try, keep pushing. So I think mentorship is important. You need someone to discuss things with. You need someone to challenge you. Mentorship is not always easy. For example, Ivan and I, we had this. At times, we were very. We could have big disagreements on how to do things, how to do analysis. But this is as well things that make you progress and you learn from it. I think for me as well, I've worked with Craig Anderson in Australia, who had a different. He was very different. He's different from Ivan. Some similarities, but still, it's having several different mentors, learning how to do things in a different way, having people supporting you and people you can discuss with. That is extremely important. And then when it comes to sponsorship, I think that as well, that is something we tend to not talk enough about. But you need someone also who in a way puts your name forward, who is aware, and who. I think that is also something we need to be aware of, that maybe sometimes you if you get an invitation, perhaps is it okay to step back from that invitation and suggest someone else because you want to give someone else the opportunity. And that is another part. So mentorship is kind of important for progression, but also sponsorship in order to have someone who puts you forward. So both things are important, I think.
Absolutely, I agree with you. And what is your advice for maintaining a healthy work and life balance?
So having just submitted the ESO guidelines on blood pressure management in acute ischemic stroke and ICH, I'm not sure I feel I'm mastering the healthy work-life balance the last couple of months, but I think having something outside of work that makes you happy, that you enjoy doing. I have a 5-year-old son. I think after he was born, I automatically have something that takes my focus away from work, and that has been an important part of it for me. I also really enjoy baking and cooking, and which for me, you know, is a bit of a, I turn off all other thoughts. I put on some nice music. I really like making sourdough bread. That is kind of my biggest interest at the moment outside of work. But having something outside and being able to switch off, which I think with the pandemic is becoming increasingly difficult, because you are doing all your meetings from a computer, and it's very difficult to say, I found it anyway a bit more difficult to say, now I'm switching off at this and this time, because you are there anyway, and we are not doing that. We're not doing that much outside of our house. So the balance, it's a fine balance. I don't always get it right, but I try. But I also think, for me, a lot of the things I do outside of my clinical work is, in many ways, I see it as a hobby, and I see it as something I enjoy doing. And as long as I enjoy doing it, I think that adds to the work-life balance aspect of it.
You have participated in several important clinical trials, and also, what has been the greatest achievements of your career, would you say?
So I think that's a difficult question, because it's there are achievements on different levels, but I think what I am the most proud of that we have achieved as a team in Oslo is that up until 2 years ago, stroke care in Oslo was very fragmented. It was divided between several different hospitals, between several different departments. But 2 years ago, we managed to get stroke care into one team. And we are now in May celebrating 2 years of having a dedicated stroke team with our own stroke consultants, our own stroke residents. And we see the patient from the ED up until we take them back to our clinic. And we also have established a 24/7 thrombectomy service in our hospital. So I think in many ways, having been able to streamline stroke care for the patient in Oslo, I think that is, of course, that has been not just me. It's been a team effort and many people involved. But I think that is the greatest achievement, I would say, even though there are other things as well. But I think streamlining stroke care in Oslo is something that I am actually the most proud of.
Yeah, what a great achievement. Congratulations. What is the best piece of advice you have received in your career?
I think the best piece of advice was when I was going to my first stroke conference. That was in Nice in 2008. And before going there, Eivind told me, so it's a bit overwhelming going to a big conference like this. And what I think you should do, you should come home, but you should learn at least one or two new things. But more importantly, you should meet at least the three new people. And I think that was such a good advice from a mentor when you go to your first conference, because in many ways that is, we go to the conference because of science, but we also go to the conferences because we meet people with a common interest. And again, Ivan's mentorship regarding research collaboration, I think, has been been such important for me in my career. And that advice is just spot on to how he thought about both conferences and how to do research. It's not something you do alone. It's something you do together with other people.
What are you working on at the moment? I know you have a particular interest in blood pressure as a risk factor for stroke. So can you share your plans for future research projects?
I think my main focus, as I said, the past couple of years has been getting to streamline the stroke care in Oslo. With regard to that, I'm working with a fantastic colleague called Maren Ranov-Hov. We have two PhD students on a pre-hospital trial that goes where we have paramedics are doing full NIHSS in the ambulance. They go through a rigorous training program. We are using a mobile app that sends information from the ambulance into the same app that we have on our phone in the hospital. So we are in a way focusing on establishing a common language between the paramedics and in hospital services. So we are recruiting patients to that trial, and we will end recruitment in October. So that will be we're looking very much forward to presenting the results. Of course, we are also collecting blood pressure variables and other variables in the pre-hospital setting. I am very interested in blood pressure management, especially in the acute phase, and I think we still have a lot to learn. We have done so many large-scale clinical trials that still has left us a bit uncertain to what, how we are supposed to manage blood pressure in the acute phase. So I think also I would like to do more work and perhaps a trial, but with a more selected group of patients. So that is plans for the future. So yeah.
Well, Elsa, you are a true inspiration and a role model for other female researchers. So thank you so much for participating in this interview.
Thank you very much. I feel both humbled and honored to be invited. So I'm very happy. Thank you very much.